1 John chapter 1, we was on this subject several, I'm not even sure, it was a few weeks ago, on fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping with God. We preached, I don't know, two or three messages on it. And I knew, even though we kind of unhooked from it and dealt with other things, went some other directions, that I knew in my heart we would one day get back to it. And I feel like the Lord would have us to get back in it, because as far as I'm concerned, above relationship with God, the most important thing above relationship with God is fellowship with God. All right? Relationship with God comes through the new birth, and that what is determines your destiny. Heaven is determined not by fellowship, but by relationship. I'm going to heaven because I have a heavenly Father and I'm His child, produced by the new birth. But whether I enjoy heaven on the way comes out of my fellowship. Amen? And I've said it, and it's simple, and it's worth repeating. If God just wanted to save me, I'd have went to heaven as soon as I got saved. God wants to fellowship with me, walk with me. He wants me to walk with Him in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, to show people the life-changing power of the gospel and of the grace of God. Amen? And to show sinners, you should be a walking sermon. You should be a sermon in shoe leather. You should be a walking demonstration to those around you of what God desires and designs to do in their life. And they should want it. They should want it. When they see you walking with God, and they know you got troubles, they know you got problems, they know that, but yet they see you walk with God, stay faithful to things of God, smile on your face, joy in your soul, peace in your heart, you know what it's going to say to them? It's going to say to them, hey, you can have it too. This is the created purpose for which God created us, is to have fellowship with God. You remember how we dealt with when we dealt with the fact that God cannot have fellowship with angels. They can praise Him, they can worship Him, but far as Him having fellowship with angels, He cannot, because they're not in His image. God can only have fellowship with that that's in His image, amen, and that would be man. God created man in His own image, amen, and so God desires fellowship. Now think about that. Now, don't let that be light in your listening. Let that be heavy. Because if God doesn't get fellowship from us, He don't get it outside of Himself. He's self-sufficient. I understand that. He's self-sufficient. He fellowships in the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's perfect harmony, perfect fellowship, perfect unity right there in the Trinity. But I want to tell you, there's a fellowship that God desires out of His people. There's a fellowship that He desires. There's something God gets out of fellowshipping with His people that He does not get nowhere else. And so when we're out of fellowship with God, we are robbing God of some things that He desires and deserves. Amen? And not only that, when we're out of fellowship with God, there's things, Brother Jeremy, that God wants me to have, that I can experience, that I can enjoy, that'll come out of fellowship. So that when I'm out of fellowship with God, I don't get it. So when a person's out of fellowship, it's a no-win situation. God's not getting what He deserves. You don't get what you need out of that fellowship of intimacy with God. If I could summarize the greatest need in our churches today, I'm preaching on it. If I could summarize the greatest need in our churches today, is for God's people, male and female, both young and old alike, to be in fellowship with God. Amen. I believe that. Now, I don't know if you remember, I just hit these. I don't want to re-preach them. I could. I feel like I could this morning. But don't you remember how that we dealt with fellowship is our spirituality? Doesn't matter if you know God as your Father. If you're not in fellowship with God, you are not spiritual. Your spirituality comes out of your fellowship with God. Amen. In fact, your spirituality is your fellowship with God. Amen. I wonder today if I would ask a simple question from the pulpit through the pews, how many of us this morning are in fellowship with God sitting right here in this service this morning? I wonder how many yays we'd have, and I wonder how many nays we'd have. Huh? Amen. You said, Preacher, I don't know about going to RBT over here. Amen. There's a bunch of questions and conviction. Well, I like it, don't you? Questions provoke thought. I have to think about it. If somebody asks me how I'm doing, then I have to give a quick summary. All right, let's see. Yo, I'm doing fine. Amen? You know, or whatever. So when I ask the question, are we in fellowship with God this morning? That should cause you to immediately to look at some key points in your life. Your relationship to the Word of God. Your relationship to the house of God. Your relationship to prayer. Your relationship to service. And so on, to name a few, are key points that you can reference to see how you are spiritually. Are you in fellowship with God? Adam, where art thou? You know what he's questioning? Wasn't question relationship, he's question fellowship. Where are you at? I come to walk with you again, Adam. Where are you? Adam had let sin come in his life. And by the way, can I say the only thing? The only thing. Not one of the things. Not one of 10 things. Not one of 2 things. The only thing that breaks fellowship with God is sin. And that may be the sin of omission, not doing what we're supposed to do, or it might be the sin of commission, doing what we know we're not supposed to do. Amen? But know this morning, that if I or you are not in fellowship with God this morning, it is not the devil, it's not demons, it's not the government, it's not the president, it's not the Middle East, it's not Muslims, it's me. Hey man, I've crossed up with God somewhere or another. Hey, well, I said I wasn't going to preach it. Y'all pray for me. I want to get... Fellowship is our spirituality. Fellowship is our stability. Remember we dealt with that. Fellowship is our stability. Enoch walked with God 300 years. The days prior to the flood. Are you listening? When nobody on planet Earth was living for God except just a handful, yet Enoch walked with God for 300 years and had a testimony that he pleased God. You say, Enoch, how did you do that when temptation of sin was everywhere? Where wickedness was global? How did you do it? My fellowship with God was my stability. Amen. Come here, Brother Brian. I said I wasn't going to preach this, but it's feeling pretty good. I'm going to preach some of them. Amen. Y'all need reminding of it anyway. It's been a while since we preached it. Amen. Let's just say me and Brother Brian here, me and God, we're having fellowship. We're talking about stability. Come on, brother. And being fellowship means there's a commonness. We share. We're going in the same direction. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So we're walking in the same direction. We're having good fellowship, you know. And you know where this right here produces my stability is, that as I'm not going to want to get into nothing, do nothing, that I wouldn't be willing to take my partner with me. Fellowship, one of the definitions of fellowship means partnership. Amen? Amen. Amen. That right there, being consciously aware of my partner, being consciously aware of God as my partner. Amen. I know Brother Brian in the flesh, this illustration, he's my partner, but he could fall over. He could trip and fall, and I'd have to pick him up. But God is really our partner, Brother Amen, Brian. Bro. You don't have to worry about him tripping. You don't have to worry about him, something happening to him, amen, getting distracted or whatever. He's with us, whithersoever we go. That right there will stabilize you. So our fellowship with God is not only our spirituality, communication, closeness, commonness, going the same direction, have same desires. Praise God, that's your spirituality, and then it produces stability. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. But our fellowship with God is our stability. Boy, have you ever seen such an unstable people in our day? I tell you, I don't know of anything that's disheartened me anymore as a pastor as people's kicking out, fizzling out. People get saved, you got high hopes, you got high expectancies. You think, praise God, they're going to do something. Next thing you know, you wonder where in the world they're at. Can I preach right here just a minute? You, you, You know what's helped me the last couple of days? I get to thinking about people that's bowed in these altars and said they got saved and seemingly no evidence of it and all sorts of things. And then I get to looking at this and I get to looking at that and I get to looking at this family and my family and they're this, that, and the other. And hear reports like Brother Buster about his church. And had another preacher call me this morning. He said, "Preacher, we don't have no men in our church." Said that I wish I had some men in our church. Adults in our church like you've got. Huh? But then I hear stuff like that and I think, "Lord, what in the world's going on? Where's the work of God at?" They're down there and preaching that beautiful building in Georgia and it dries last year's bird's nest. And I tell you what, I got to thinking about it last night and again this morning. You know what keeps me going? It's not what you do. It's not whether you quit or keep going. Your spirituality is not what keeps me going. I tell you what fired me up this morning was this. God, I'm going to stick with the stuff. I'm going to go on. Why? Because God, I know 28 years ago what you did in my heart. If I looked at everybody else, I'd be down. I'd be discouraged. I'd be depressed. I want to tell you what. I can look in the mirror and see a miracle. Amen. I want to tell you, thank God. That's what stabilizes me. I know what He did. I know what He did. I know what He did. Glory. Hallelujah. I know what He did, and that's what keeps me going. Sure, it bothers me when I see fruit that doesn't remain. Sure, it bothers me when I see instability and all of that. But I want to tell you, Brother Brian, what keeps me going. Just I know what He did for me. Amen. I may look at them and some of them and wonder, did they get it or didn't get it? But I don't have to look in the mirror. I don't have to worry. I don't have to wonder, did I or did I not get it? Thank God I can look back at 28 years. Amen. Thank God for the saving, life-changing grace of a holy God. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Woo! Whoa! Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Oh, the stars may fall. Hey man, who knows what's going to happen in this global economy we got. But I can go off of one thing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank God I know what He did for me. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes! Oh, I could quit off of what He's done for you. But what He's done for me, Brother Carroll, is what keeps me going. Hallelujah. Oh, I just get to think. Sometimes I get to looking at everybody and I have questions and no answers and I get to wondering about it and what, you know, and the devil gets to telling me, you know, it ain't worth it. Look at you giving your life to preaching. You're wearing yourself out, running yourself to death preaching, and look, nothing happens. Amen. But I'm preaching for Him. Amen. Preaching for Him, not them. And I know, I don't know why, but I just have been big in my heart. I know what He's done for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get through here. Amen. I didn't preach these one time. Amen. But I feel a good touch on them already. Amen. But our fellowship is our spirituality. Our fellowship is our stability. Our fellowship is our strength. Amen. Amen. Brother, look at all that's taxing you. Look at all that's pulling against your life to drain you. Listen, you better have some inflow. Come on. Hey, you better have some inflow that at least matches your outflow. Because if you've got more being pulled out of your life than you got coming in, it's a matter of time that you're going to be dry. till you're going to be empty. Oh, you better make sure. Listen, listen. Don't be like the Shunammite woman in Song of Solomon who said that other vineyards have I kept, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. In other words, don't get so preoccupied with and being spent out for everything and everybody, my friend, and jobs and all kinds of things that'll pull on you. Amen. You better stop occasionally and daily. Amen. And get with God. Amen. Get under the spout where the glory runs out. Get filled up again. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. But it's our strength. I want you to listen to this point right here. Our fellowship is our survival. I'd say this as a Christian. I'm not talking about destiny in heaven. I'm talking about here, development. You're not going to make it if you don't have fellowship with God. I have right here in this little, I got right here, I pulled out, if you need me to, I still got that statistic where it showed that 88% of all young people raised in our evangelical churches, 18 years old, leave church never to return. And that wasn't by a Christian group either. You know what that says to me, young people? The odds are stacked in your favor that you, one of these days you're going to get out of church. You say, oh, no, not me, preacher. I go to RBT. It don't matter what church you go to. The statistic says 88%, that's almost 9 out of 10, Brother Craig. Almost 9 out of 10, my friend, that when they reach 18 years old, will leave church never to return. You know why? Church was just a place to go. Mom and daddy drug them there. Amen. Mom and daddy made them go. Nothing in their heart. No fellowship with the God of the church. Amen. And so that when they got 18, you know, they just kind of venture out where their heart was the whole time. Amen. I very seldom ever preach a whole message here without preaching to young people. Amen. And they love it and I love it. I don't know if they line up, but they know I love them. Amen. And I want to tell you, friend, I don't want to see you get out of the house of God. You young ladies, I don't want to see you mess your life up. You young boys, I don't want to see you get out of the house of God. But I want to tell you, if you don't get your heart right and get full of God and try to maintain some kind of a spiritual life in fellowship with God, you won't make it. The storms of life are too severe for you to make it. Amen. Lord, help me, Jesus. Fellowship is our survival. Listen to this. Could I mention this one quickly? Lord, help me, Jesus. Fellowship is our satisfaction. Amen. It's not what's in my hand that satisfies me. It's what's in my heart that satisfies me. Amen. You can have it all, my friend, and be miserable. Amen. But on the other hand, if you've got an intimacy with God and a fellowship with God, I want to tell you, praise God, you can be satisfied. You can be content. Young people, why in the world would you want to pattern your life after the world's stars, after the world's heroes, when they're miserable? I mean, think about it. They got the life that you're after. They are the person that you're trying to mimic. And they're miserable. Duh. Get yourself upside down. Duh. Wake up. If their life is not satisfying them, if I have their life and get where they are, it won't satisfy me neither. Satisfaction is not in your name. Satisfaction is in His name. Satisfaction is not in popularity. Satisfaction is whether or not you're right with God. I preach this till I pass out, Brother Frankie, and young people will not seemingly ever listen. When God's trying to help them to spare their lives from wreck and ruin and wasted years. Amen. I hope that it won't take somebody's actual life to prove me wrong. But I wish you young people would write it down, at least in your Bible somewhere. Write it down. That preacher actually said, December 2009, that this world cannot satisfy me. My satisfaction is in fellowship with God. And then you tell me 20 years if I wasn't right.
You're right. Preach, God.
Amen. Our fellowship is our satisfaction. Our fellowship is our separation. Come here, Brother Brian. Need you to play God again. Amen. Now watch this right here. My fellowship with God is my separation. Like I said a while ago, I don't want to get in nothing, do nothing, reflect on my partner.
Amen.
Amen. And my partner's not, we're not buddies. We're talking about God and Son. We're talking about Father, Son.
Together.
Amen. But you say, where does the separation come in? Not just that I wouldn't want to take him, but you know what? None of that crowd out there won't have much to do with me if I'm real close
right.
to him.
Right.
You know what? Hey, we don't want to have much fellowship with Preacher Rackley because you know his buddy comes with him.
That's right.
You can't have him without his buddy. His father's going to be with him, amen. And you know what? I don't know of anybody in this world that likes my father.
That's right.
Amen. Sin wants to come in here, right here. Amen. Sin and flesh wants to come in right here. World wants to come in right here and put a distance between you and intimate fellowship with God. Why? So the further you get away from Him, as far as His manifest presence, guess what? The further you get away from Him, the more you're getting close to them. Light and darkness can't have fellowship with one another. Hey, young people, I don't have to know much about you spiritually, personally. All I have to know is, all I have to see is who it is that runs with you. You see, that's all I have to notice. That's all I have to do is just ask, is find out who your friends are. Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. That's right. Darkness will never be attracted to light. Darkness flees from light. And if you walk in the light as children of light, guess what? The world, my friend, will keep a distance from you. It's our separation. Fellowship is my shout. My song. It is my side. My fellowship with God is my banner, my side. It declares what side I'm on. I have a camaraderie with God. Amen. You know what a lot of people does, Brother Ivan? They want God to run quickly when they're in a battle. Oh, God, help me! I need your camaraderie. I need you to be my fellow comrade. I need you in my fight.
Come on, preacher.
And God might say, but where have you been? I've not heard from you in a while. Amen. Fellowship with God is my steps. It's my path. It's my seriousness. And a bunch of other things we could mention. Well, I preached the whole time on that. Fellowship. Are you in fellowship this morning? Are you in fellowship? Well, God needs to do so. Oh, wait a minute. God's already done everything He can do. God's already dealt with everything. Listen, we could never have fellowship with God until the sin issue was dealt with. And guess what? God took care of that because He knew we couldn't even take care of that. He knew we couldn't take care of that. Amen. Because we couldn't furnish a sacrifice that would do it. The Old Testament, they could furnish sacrifices that would atone for 1 year, but then it'd come back up for payment again. Come back up for payment again. You've sinned, something's got to die. Blood's got to be shed. You know what? But our sin against God, my friend, couldn't be took out of the way by nothing we could do. Works, good works, religion, nothing. But guess what? God sending what we could not do, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent forth His only Son. Amen. What could not be done as far as keeping the law? I had an individual tell me not long ago that has heard me preach many times on these pews right here and me in that pulpit right here tell me that there's other ways to heaven.
God help.
Told me that. Said, you don't have to be saved, go to heaven. I believe if you just kind of, you know, if you live right, or try to live good and be good and live clean and, well, they didn't even use the word clean. They just said you kind of be a good person that you'll go to heaven when you die. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, if we can go to heaven by other means than the cross, then why did Jesus die? The Bible said that He, in Hebrews 2:9, He tasted death for every man. Did Jesus just die for those that couldn't be good? Yes, He did. He did die for those that couldn't be good. Because Romans 3 says, there's none good, no, not one. Amen? And that is the world. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I'm going to tell you, that summary came out of that mouth. That is not a saved person. There ain't no way somebody be that ignorant, willfully, and be born again. Well, we're having a good time. Let me just run through this first point. I got, at least for my conscience sake, I got to deal with this first point. I got to deal with this first point. Amen. Amen. Brother Justin Cox and his dear wife wandered in. Amen. And they need preaching, I guarantee you. He's been on the West Coast for about 3 months. I know he's dried up. Amen. He needs preaching too. Amen. But the first thing, here's what I want to share with you this morning, just quickly, and I'm going to try to give it to you and go. Number one is the facts of fellowship. What are some of the facts of fellowship? And that word truly there in verse number 3, look at it. Hey, you know what I just thought of? I ain't even read the verse yet. Oh, Lord. Brother Rob, I messed up. I got the cart before the horse. I'll have to go back and read, then start back over again. Y'all ready? We got oxygen tanks. Amen. All right, look here. 1 John 1. Let me read a couple of these verses. Let's just at least read the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Watch verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I like that word, verse 3, truly. I like that word truly, Brother Brian, where John said, and by the way, the word fellowship appears four times in chapter 1. And all four of them is dealing with a vertical fellowship with God. Not horizontal, but vertical fellowship with God. And I'm going to say the facts. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Truly. Truly. He used that word on purpose to show that His fellowship was not put on. It was not imaginary. It was a fact. Now here's some facts. You want some facts? Here's some facts about fellowship. Facts about fellowship. Number one, fellowship is possible. That's a fact. I'm talking about little us. I'm talking about little us right here in RBT. It is possible that we can have fellowship with God. Boy, that blesses me. I can't hardly stand it. Amen. Amen. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. John said, I want you to know, we've got fellowship with the Father. So fact number one is, fellowship is possible. Number two, fellowship is personal. Now John said here in verse 3, he said, that which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. John said, I'll tell you what, you can fellowship with us, but we want you to know before you come over here, our fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. If you don't want fellowship with the Father and His Son, then you don't want to have fellowship with us. Amen? Because I am not. Hey, come on, young people. I am not breaking fellowship with God to have fellowship with you or to nobody else. Amen. Hey, amen. Come on now. You young people that'd be interested in a mate one of these days when you're about 35. Amen. Amen. Hey. If you have to start toning your spiritual life down to get them or to keep them, you're inviting a world of heartache and trouble. You said, preacher, how will I know when the right one comes along? I tell you how to thin out the prospects. See, it's confusing if you got a whole lot to choose from. I'm trying to help you young ladies and you young men. Amen. If you got a whole bunch to choose from, then it's confusing. You're subject to get the wrong one. Best thing to do is get full of the Holy Ghost. Set your standards, my friend, into the heavens. And don't dip them for nobody. Don't change for nobody. And I promise you they won't be but just maybe one that'll be interested. You don't have to go any, many, mighty, mo. Amen. All you have to do is get so full of God, amen, that only those that are full of God will be interested in you. You say, but I'll be an old maid or I'll be a bachelor. Nobody will ever like me. Hey, it's better to be alone than in bad company. It's better to be not married wishing you was married than to be married wishing you wasn't. Don't ask me to repeat that. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, amen. It'd be better to wish and wonder and, oh, I wish I had a mate. I wish I had a mate. And not have one is to have one and it'll be a thorn in your side. Won't go to church with you. My friend, they're against you being spiritual. They're against you giving to God and doing the will of God. I want to tell you, you don't want to even be interested in that. Amen. That's right. You ought not to let a boy touch you. That's right. One girl was going to Brother Samuel Allen's church, and she's a godly girl. And this boy, she'd been dating or courting or whatever they call it they're doing, you know, at church and stuff. And they're praying, you know, Lord, is this the Lord's will? Is He the Lord's will? Is she the Lord's will and all this? And one night during service, he slipped his hand over and put it on her leg. She grabbed his hand, throwed it off, and said, I just got my answer. You are not the Lord's will. Amen. That's right. The Bible says it's better than a man not to touch a woman. You can explain that away and paraphrase it and simplify it and symbolize it, but it comes right down to it. When flesh touches flesh, fire is kindled. Amen. Amen. It don't matter if you like it or not. I'm telling you. Amen. You said, preach, that's too plain. You ought not to be preaching on that. And I don't know how I got on that, on this. I'm talking about fellowship with God. It's personal. That you said, preach, you ought not to be preaching on that. You mean to tell me if you run, do it yourself, run the statistics on unwed mothers in this country. Run the statistics on illegitimate children. And then tell me that something don't need to be preached about it. You work in that field, I'm telling you, it's rampant. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I know here in Hawkins County I shouldn't say nothing. Well, I think it's a little embarrassing to me. It's a little embarrassing to be a Rogersvilleite. And it's reported in the Kingsport Times, what was that, last year, year before last, that there was like, what, 38 girls in Cherokee High School pregnant? And they said that's more than mentioned some of the large cities in up and down the East Coast, some of the large schools. And there's churches everywhere around here. I tell you what it is. The pulpit has got quiet against sin because it's not popular. Preachers are not interested in people having fellowship with God. They're interested in funding their billfold, paychecks, benefits. Amen. I'm not interested in that. Amen. I get accused of that, but I ain't. I haven't. When I came up here, I told them, I'll just repeat it for some of you in case you need a refresher. When they said 13 people, preacher, we're going to talk to you about what we're going to do for you. I said, I don't want to know. I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I want to know one thing. Does God want me in Rogersville? And I said, when I get the green light that God wants me in Rogersville, then everything will take care of itself. I ain't worried about it. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, I'm talking about kids in our churches that are just about as immoral as people that's out in the world. I tell you why. One, it's the pulpit. My friend, hirelings in the pulpit that will not preach against sin. They won't preach against immodesty.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't want to get on that. That'd ruin a good message. But I'm going to tell you what's true. It's hard for me to preach on, not get on that. Amen. God help us, Jesus. Amen. There ain't but one reason for immodesty, and you want somebody to look. Don't tell me it's comfortable. Don't tell me it's comfortable. It's conforming to the world, and you want somebody to look. Amen. By the way, the Bible still shows and declares that a woman sties her nakedness. Say amen right there. I ain't going to get on that. I could. I ain't shooting from the hip on that. But fellowship is possible. Fellowship is personal. But also, let me say, fellowship is preeminent. John said, our fellowship's with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing no more going to take the place of that. It's preeminent. And then last, fellowship is practical. It's not something you have to dream about, wonder about. You can have fellowship with God. You. No matter how old you are, how young you are, you can have fellowship with God. Boy, isn't that a blessing? That'll make church lively. By the way, church without fellowship with God is boring. Thank you, brother. I was wondering if he's listening. Going to church without fellowship with God? Boring. Amen. You ever wonder why a lot of people never gets in a service? You can't get in a service you're out of whack with God. You can't. Now, if we did what a lot of churches are doing, you probably could. You know, if we had some mop head quartet come in here, you know, with some thumping bump Beatle music to gospel lyrics, you might could get involved with that. But that's not going to happen. Not here, not while I'm here, by the grace of God. If you see that happening, y'all just go ahead and call the men in the white coats and say, our pastor's losing it. It's time for you. You're gone, preacher. Amen. That's right. Because I promise you, if that happens, I'll be nuts. I guarantee you, I'll be crazy if that happens. That's right. I don't listen to that garbage. Amen. That's right. Say amen right there. I'm going to quit. I feel a mean streak coming on. Amen. Amen. But I'm talking about fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Amen. Let's all stand. Fellowship. Fellowship with God. Are you interested in it? Let's bow for a word of prayer. As Paul says, you'll come play or someone play softly. Maybe while the preaching was going on this morning, God showed you that you was out of fellowship with God. You hadn't read and prayed, hadn't talked with Him in a while, hadn't loved on Him in a while, hadn't experienced intimacy with God in a while. I tell you what you need to do. Why don't you just come on down the altar? You don't have to tell me nothing. I don't want to know nothing. Just get in this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know if there's distance between us, it's me that's moved. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to get right. I want that closeness again. Well, I want to tell you, you can go through problems, go through battles and difficulties, and I'm telling you, it'll zap your joy if you're not careful. It'll zap your fellowship with God if you're not careful. Would you come? Would you come today as she plays softly? Father, I come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace this morning. Lord, I've tried to be obedient to you, and I want to thank you for, Lord, giving us great liberty to preach this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a good touch and a sense of your presence this morning. Our Father, as we preached, and I believe it was because, Lord, that Lord, we preached your heart. We preached what your heart's about, and that's fellowshipping with us. Lord, you paid a high price so that we could fellowship with you. You paid a high price so that you could fellowship with us. And dear Lord, I pray you'll help us today. Oh, God, help people in the building today. I can't be spiritual for them. I have a hard time with myself. But dear Lord, they're going to have to be responsible for their own spiritual life. And Lord, they may be wounded right now. They may be beat up, beat down. They may be going through all kinds of things. But Lord, I pray this morning they'll look and see where their fellowship with God is. Because if they're not fellowshipping with you, then they're going to have to try to go in the strength and energy of the flesh to try to conquer and try to cope with whatever's going on in their life. Lord, there's energy that'll come to our heart and life through fellowshipping with you. Your Spirit, Lord, will infuse into us a divine help and strength. Lord, I pray You'd help young people, Lord, in this building, dear God, to get full of the Spirit of God. Lord, to get right with God. Oh, Father, not be interested in pleasing this world, fitting in with this world. Dear God, but pleasing Jesus and being satisfied, Lord, with Him. Father, I pray Your will to be done. Save sinners. Lord, sinners should want to get saved this morning because unless they are saved, they cannot have fellowship with God. They cannot have fellowship with God. They know about God, but they'll never know God. Lord, I ask You please to help us that are saved to show sinners that it is good to be saved. And the good thing about being saved is that we get to fellowship with Jesus. We get to know Him. Hallelujah. We're in partnership with Him. We have a commonness with Him. Father, deal with us and speak to us. I know our relationship is permanent, but our fellowship requires maintenance. Lord, we can get out of fellowship with You and real quick. Lord, it doesn't take but just a few seconds, Lord, and we can be out of fellowship with You. But Lord, help us to never accept it. Help us to never make excuses for it. Help us to never blame somebody else for it. Help us, Lord, to be quick, God, to confess our sins and to get right with God. Have Your way, Lord, this morning. Help, Lord, please. I know I preached to our young people some this morning. Please help them, dear Jesus. Lord, they're not going to make it. The chances of them getting a spiritual mate, dear God, that'll encourage their walk with God will get very slim. Lord, if they pursue that part of their life after the flesh, because the flesh attracts flesh. God, help them, Jesus, to get in this altar as a young lady, as a young man right here this morning and resolve and commit their lives to You, God, by Your help and grace. I'm not going to worry about a maid. I'm going to worry about serving and honoring and pleasing my Savior and doing the will of God. And Lord, if You can send me somebody that will complement that instead of complicate that, then Lord, so be it. But if not, I'm going personally with God and serve Jesus. Father, have Your way this morning. Seal the message to our heart. We'll give You the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.